Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. You are here. And you're doing such a remarkable work of righteousness. What a blessing to be called by your name. We're the privileged ones. Our lives are hid in Christ Jesus. In him we move, we live, and we have our being. We're the privileged ones. The preference and the choice of Yahweh is over us. We thank you for your hand because it makes the difference. We thank you for your favor that surrounds our lives like a shield. We've gathered in this spiritual Zion, and you, O God, are our Father and the judge of all. We're here in the presence of Christ Jesus and the spirit of just men made perfect. We're in an assembly of the firstborn. We are in the company of angels, innumerable in festal gathering. We're present before Christ, who is the mediator of the new covenant. And the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. We have an advantage. You are our advantage. We don't have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He was at every point tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. And this is why we have gathered again at your throne of grace and mercy, so that we can find grace to help us today, which is our time of need. We open our hearts and we humble ourselves before you. No one can receive anything except it comes from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift, it comes from above, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither any shadow of turning. You've done us well. You've given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Yahweh, thank you. We know that we can get caught in calendarized events and annual meetings and monthly convenings and WhatsApp groups. But today, we allow ourselves enter into the consecrations of perception to carry a correct perception and a correct revelation of what the Lord is doing. We're not gathered unto any man, and we're not gathered unto ourselves. Unto you, O Lord, will the gathering of your people be. You said, gather unto me my saints who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the lifting of our hands be as the evening sacrifice. We look unto you, Yahweh, and we are lightened. Our faces will never be darkened with shame. Let your word find us where we are and place us where you want us to be. In the name of Jesus, as heavenly transportation occurs today of weighty wisdom and heavenly cargo, as you transport from the realms of God into the realms of men, what will carry us further into decades through defining destiny developments, let them enter into our lives. Let them enter into our spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. We receive the life-giving power of the word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we receive the life-giving power of the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we receive the life-giving power of the word of God. We know by faith that all things are made by your word. There's nothing that was made that wasn't made by your word. We know that everything we can see was framed by what does not appear. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the bone and the marrow, a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God, spirit and life. the incorruptible seed of the word by which we have become born again. The word of God. The life-giving word of God. It lives and it abides forever. Let your word locate us. Just one word from the Lord, and we can be truly transformed. For indeed, as we behold you as in a glass, we are being changed into the very image of Christ, from glory to glory to glory to glory, by the Spirit of the living God. A word from God. And your word is powerful to perform. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it will prosper whereto it is sent, and it will perform my purpose. Let your word perform your purpose in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't mind, would you lift your two hands like a funnel and declare, I receive all that God has for me. My portals are open. My channels are open. And the Spirit of the living God is doing a work in me that will carry me into a new season of my life. Scriptures are happening. Prophecies are being fulfilled. The word is working. And I am becoming in the name of Jesus Christ. Ancient words, ever true, changing me. Keep singing, wisdom is the principal thing. And as the choir sings, I want you to release your faith for a specific wisdom regarding a recurring pattern in your life. As I walked in, and prophetess, I met her just teaching the, you know, rounding up her session, and the Spirit of the Lord showed me chains, locked up and not locked up, but tangled, heavy chains and very tangled. And I just began to map and inquire, what does this mean? And he said, there's a requirement. That's not what he only said, but I'm not going to necessarily say what it meant, but what we are required to do. There's a requirement to lean into the wisdom of God for knotty issues. And you know, when she began to say, your life is different, your marriage is different, your circumstances are different, it also means that you require wisdom that is customized for your journey. Wisdom customized for your seasons. Wisdom customized for destiny. And that is what we want to do. Since the Spirit of the Living God is here with us, and He has been generous in the outpouring of what you require, so that you are not locked up in problematic patterns that continue though you pray and study the word. It's a wisdom issue for so many people. And my faith in the name of Jesus is that by the time we're living here, those tied up and tangled chains that hold men bound will be broken off, so that you come into liberty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes 10:10, if the axe is dull, sharpen it. That is the purpose of wisdom. It helps people succeed. Sometimes we're holding the axe, but we are not hitting the required level of productivity in our lives. Sometimes you are walking in obedience. Sometimes you are serving in the Lord's house. Sometimes you are walking in the will of God. Sometimes you are standing in your office. But you must come to a season in your life when you just don't want to do the will of God. You want the will of God to be expressed through you at the highest levels of excellence. Glory to God. You don't just want to get to the land of promise. You want to get there while you are young, so you can enjoy God and you can leave a legacy of faith to the next generation. Glory to God. When you are already in God, your pursuit is no longer merely to be in God, but to experience the best of God. Glory to God. The sinner needs salvation, but the saint needs transformation. When you come in, it is not an end in itself. It's a beginning of a lifelong journey. Glory to God. So at every level of life, we are all living in spectrums. Do you understand this? Meaning two people could be in a realm, but one is at the beginning of the spectrum of excellence. Another has gone far. Two people could be operating in the prophetic office, but it doesn't mean they are mates. Glory to God. Because there are technologies in the spirit. There are tools in the spirit. And what God has given you requires sharpening, so that you can attain the highest impact in the shortest possible time. You can't just clamor to make a difference for God's kingdom. You must want to make the highest amount of impact for Him in a shorter time than you did last year. Wisdom. So they're just going to sing that over us, and we will just continue to pray. This is not a maturity issue. It's a wisdom issue. At any level of maturity, there's a wisdom of God that can help you impose heaven on earth's limitation. Yes. Take some time to pray. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, start by praying in the Holy Ghost. Specific counsel. Specific wisdom in the name of Jesus. This is not the kind of intensity you need for the prayer I'm talking about. You don't need to put more strength when you can access strategy. Strategy. Wisdom. Wisdom in the name of Jesus. Le brega de le barusa bande. Shale kate ya bada bado fatela ya. Re ba ba ba.
Wisdom for marriage. Wisdom for ministry. Wisdom for parenting. Wisdom for career. Wisdom for business. Wisdom for your health. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just heard the Lord say to me, correct diagnosis. Do you know correct diagnosis is a miracle? Do you know if you have a health challenge, until the diagnosis is correct that this is what is happening, there can be an answer. Anywhere there's a recurring pattern in your life, you need prophetic diagnosis. Cry out for that. Show me the root cause. Open my eyes to the sponsoring influences of these patterns in my marriage, of these patterns in my ministry, of this challenge in my health. Sister, you're not praying. You're looking at me. Would you pray? Would you pray? Laba shele cross satande. So kabadaba shapragaduva. So de la brisa katele bregados. Correct diagnosis. Are you praying? Correct diagnosis. In the name of Jesus Christ. Rebadus kapandele bregados. Father, I receive correct diagnosis. We have just a few more minutes. I just heard the Lord say, correct diagnosis. Show me what is sponsoring the patterns in my life. Open the eyes of my heart. Reba simbla kouza de berus. Arre kabina zibelos. Shabaduka bevregados. Rikandila sibedoya. Help me by the Spirit of the Living God. Glory to God. Finally, you are going to pray this way. There's something called the miracle of metanoia. Metanoia is a root Greek word for repent, and is one of the, that word is one of the greatest mysteries of our kingdom. No wonder when Jesus arrived the earth, his entire message was summed up in repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Meaning, to experience the entrance of the kingdom, you have to repent. But repentance is not turn from your wrongdoings. It's not stop sinning. It happens to be a theologically malhandled word. Metanoia means think a new thought. A radical departure from present paradigm. You're going to pray this because it matters. How you think can bypass revelation knowledge. Yes. Your paradigm can allow you to study the word. And if you don't study it under the light of scripture and a heart humble to receive, the word of God will not make sense for you to shift your position on a matter. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not stiff-necked. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not spiritually stubborn. The word of God has access to the realm of my mind. I will not bypass revelation knowledge. My paradigms will not make me bypass revelation knowledge. In the name of Jesus Christ. Open the eyes of my mind. Spirit of the Living God, help me. Open the eyes of my mind. Inspire me by counsel. Break the walls in my paradigm. Deliver me from stubbornness. Teach me what I do not know. I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Zokade bredusa vishataste. Lemati bregados kazodo pres lavrisa. Releko satabrado vregados. Lada sikra delebasha bedo vrekiste. Oh Lord, we give you praise. Le matala branda sika badof. Eruko zuta nika bilavis. Help is here. In the name of Jesus, help is here. In the name of Jesus, help is here. Oh Lord, thank you. Father, we give you praise. Now bless him. Bless him like someone who has received. Bless the Lord. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give the Lord praise. Do it like you know what God has done, what the Lord is doing. Bless him. Give God praise. Rejoice. Rejoice like your seasons are truly changing. Rejoice like your mind is opening up to answers. I have this miracle again and again in my life, and it's a game changer. I will just come to know what I didn't know that was sponsoring a situation. Bless him. Because you've humbled your heart, answers are coming to you. Is this the best way we can do it? Give him good praise. Give him good praise. Give God some go. I don't know if you know what the Lord has done. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, and having a readiness to punish every disobedience when our own obedience is complete. So it's a warfare, and you have the victory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing will bite you and fan you. Give God praise as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. I'm delighted to be here. There's a very strong intercession capital that has gone into this conference. Do you want to bless God for that? People have prayed. People have definitely prayed. I came into a strong atmosphere that is intercession backed. It's a kind of oil produced by spiritual labor. Yes. And there's also a lot of spiritual labor over RCN. So you want to thank God for the leadership of this house. You want to give God praise. Celebrate all the leaders. Celebrate the ministers. Celebrate the minstrels. Amen and amen. Is that an original song from you guys? I've never heard it. It's so beautiful. And you sang it so well. And you moved in such rhythm. And that's mommy conductor. Wait, she was just like, Mr. Prince. I was blessed. I was blessed. My spirit man was enriched. Yes, yes. Well done. Well done. Amen and amen. Let me tell you, there's a particular anointing that I haven't interacted with a lot. But there's a woman I met that carries it. It's an irresistible anointing where people can't say no to you. Reverend Grace has it. No. She's so graceful, you will fall in love with her. And you can't say no to her. That I'm here today is a proof of that grace. Sweetly, gently, oh mama, oh, we will make it work. We love you so much. God honor, bless, prosper, promote, protect, and project you for his will in our generation. Well done. Congratulations. Glory to God. Prophetess. Hi. Why? You know, it's until I saw her family's picture recently that I was like, for real, for real. This woman is not young. But how can she be looking like this? How can she have a daughter that is like her younger sister? How have you been following Jesus for decades? The purity of your heart, the accuracy of your prophetic gift, your humility, your love for the Lord, and what you have forerun in God's movement over women, especially in Nigeria. Many may not know, but the flinging forth of God's daughters into the front lines in ministry, especially with the prophetic and the supernatural, has been forerun by women like Prophetess Fanny. You want to give God praise? Especially that in your lifetime, you are seeing the labor, the fruit of your labor in the spirit. That in your lifetime, you're witnessing the manifestation of prophetic words you said 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, to the glory of the living God. You really want to do it like you mean it. You really want to bless God like you mean it. You really want to honor her like you mean it. Glory to God. We love you so much. And you're fine. Kai. Look, this is what I came to do. You may be wondering that I'm going to the message. This is the message. It's the message. It's the proof that God can place his hand on us from our youth and walk with us into our old age. That the anointing on our lives can have longevity. That as we follow after in the brewing pot of consistency, that the anointing will be forged till we come into realms of authority and cause the nations to come under the influence of what Christ said to us. That's the message, that we are not joking. That hours of prayer is not just spiritoko. That Christianity is not a religion. That what we have is a destiny-defining advantage. Yes. Glory to God. Now celebrate yourselves. You could have been anywhere today, but you are here. Is that your best? Is that how you want to celebrate yourselves? Hallelujah. Do it like you are already standing at the United Nations, representing the will of God in your sector. Do it well. Glory to God. Now find a partner and say, congratulations. I heard about your testimony. I received your wedding IV. I saw you on Forbes front cover. Congratulations. Wow. I heard of your testimony. Oh my God. Glory to God. I hear you've launched your clothing line. I hear you got your investment. I hear you were at Aso Rock providing counsel to governments. I saw your book launch. I heard about your twins. I heard about your housewarming. Congratulations. Hallelujah. Please be seated. That image caught my eyes. Wow. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Father. God is doing great things. I pray in the name of Jesus that your eyes will be open to what your Father is doing. That your spirit will be inspired. And you would start to borrow the belief of God. You will start to lean into the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you start to say, if God said it about me, then I want it. Then I'll move in that direction. Then I'll order my life according to his prophetic word. It may take time, some time to catch up with faith, but time will catch up. Glory be to God. It has happened in the realm of God, then it's going to happen in the realm of man. The theme of the conference this year is really, really remarkable. It's really remarkable, especially because we're in a time where there is such an outpouring of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on women. It's a God movement. It's not a women's movement. Glory to God. It's a God movement because God's agenda knows no gender. It's a God movement because women are wombed men. A woman is a wombed man. And the Lord, across generations from the time of Scripture, has always been in search of a womb that can partner with him for his will to be done. So the theme is really remarkable because as we make progress and forge ahead really quickly, on the account of the anointing upon, we must play catch up on the account of the anointing within. Glory to God. If we don't strengthen the anointing within, we may go fast on the account of the anointing upon, but we will become a danger to ourselves and to those who hear us. It matters. And I can tell for my generation, I'm already seeing things that confirm to me that it is unsafe to have a platform, and I'm not talking ministry only. It's unsafe to have growing prosperity, growing influence, growing leadership without growing character. And the thing with that lopsided positioning of competence and capacity without an equivalent measure of character is that it doesn't show early. But you are the one who knows. If you haven't followed Jesus correctly, you are the one who knows if you are not working on what God has been spotlighting. You are the one who knows if there are dimensions of sin and besetting sins and weights that you continue to condone in your life. You are the one who knows what God has said to you that you have not done. Amen. So the conversation that God is leading us to have as wise women is a critical contribution that the Spirit of the Living God is making in his daughters as well as sons at this time in a way that empowers you to enjoy the hand of God and to carry well what he's depositing over your life and over your spirit as his favor and the factor of his preference. It matters that we are wise. It matters that we carry ourselves correctly. It matters that we submit to the protocols of this kingdom that cannot be shaken. It matters. It also matters to have this conversation because of the influence and the power of the media. There is a way that you can see what God does not approve of become so proliferated and so popular, even in the church, that you can get things mixed up. Have you ever seen a pastor's cleavage to the point where you are asking, oh, maybe it's not that deep at the end of the day? You are just temporarily confused, necessarily so, that, oh, maybe I'm just the one who is taking this thing too far. Okay, maybe it's not that much of a yeah. You just have to see it a few more times before you start to relax on the standards. So the danger of this time is that church culture is not necessarily scripture culture. So it's not enough to even follow a teacher. It matters that you follow the teachers introduced to you by the Spirit of the Living God. Wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 9, and I will read from the TPT translation, it says, wisdom has built herself a palace upon seven pillars to keep it secure. She has made ready a banquet feast, and the sacrifice has been killed. She has mingled her wine, and the tables all set. She has sent out her maidens, crying out from the high place, inviting everyone to come and eat until they are full. Whoever wants to know me and receive my wisdom, come and dine at my table and drink of my wine. Lay aside your simple thoughts and leave your paths behind. Agree with my ways, live in my truth, and you will find righteousness. If you try to correct an arrogant cynic, expect an angry insult in return.
If you try to confront an evil man, don't be surprised if all you get is a slap in the face. So don't bother to even correct a mocker, for he'll only hate you for it. But go ahead and correct the wise. They'll love you more for it. Teach a wise man what is right, and he'll grow even wiser. Instruct the lovers of God, and they'll learn even more. The starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed with awe as you worship Yahweh. To receive the revelation of the Holy One, you must come to the one who has living understanding. Wisdom will extend your life, making every year more fruitful than the one before. So it is to your advantage to be wise. But to ignore the counsel of wisdom is to invite trouble into your life. There's a spirit named Foolish who is boisterous and brash. She's seductive and restless. And there she sits at the gateway to the high places on her throne overlooking the city. She preaches to all who walk by her who are clueless as to what is happening. Come home with me. She invites those who are easily led astray, saying illicit sex is the best sex of all. A secret affair will be sweeter than all others. Little do they know when they answer her call that she dwells among the spirits of the dead, and all her guests soon become citizens of hell. I want to highlight a few things to you. By the way, the book of Proverbs should be embedded into your devotional life for life. Yeah, you just take the Proverbs chapter equivalent to the day of the month. If it's August 1st, you know, Proverbs 1. If it's July 24th, Proverbs 24. Glory to God. And you go on and on and on and on and on all through your life, it will radically impact wisdom for everyday life. So many things sit in Proverbs 9, and I know that you're going to go back to it. I know you're going to sit with it. But I want to highlight a few things to you. The first interesting thing I want to highlight to you is that foolishness, as is carnality, begins as a weakness but becomes a demonic territory. Any arena of carnality starts out as a weakness of the flesh. But as you make incremental investment in that arena of carnality, a person continues to move on that spectrum till they get to a point where demonic activity takes over. Anger can start off as just a weakness of the flesh. But there is the demon of rage that can sponsor anger. Have you seen people get angry to the point where it overtakes them? A person can start off just having a measure of materialism. They just like the fine things of life. They see anyone dressed well, they are quick to ask, "Where did you get this earring? Oh, this hair?" They are just pulled. They just have an affinity for the fine things. If they don't curtail it and bring themselves under the influence of the spirit, they get into greed. They get into seduction. They get into the worship of money. I'm telling you things I have seen clearly among saints. Amen. Do you know a person, when they are so friendly and they don't come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they can get into demonic activity. They can get flirtatious. They can get talkative. And they can walk into alliances sponsored by Satan to frustrate their destiny. Do you know a person who likes comfort can end up in demonic complacency, where they are so laid back, they don't know when to fight for their destiny? And it was concerning people like that that scripture said, "Woe unto those who are complacent in Zion." Amen. Foolishness may start off as innocent naivety. What you don't know, you don't know. But foolishness can become sponsored by the enemy. Foolishness can open doors to demonic activities. A day comes in your life where you reckon that it is unsafe to be unwise.
category of people that can't be unwise. If there's a call of God on your life, and that is all of us, you can't be unwise. Because what you're not paying attention to is paying attention to you. You may normalize who you are and regularize yourself based on the estate you live in, the degree you graduated with university from, how much money you have in your bank account. But sometimes, and I pray that will not be you, Satan has a clearer reckoning of some sins than they do of themselves in the spirit. And knows this is a potential bomb waiting to explode against my kingdom. This is a depopulator of my kingdom. If this one can just have their knees in prayer, things will happen in this region. So what you may not be paying attention to is paying attention to you. If there's a call on your life, you can't afford to be foolish. If you are married, you can't afford to be foolish. Any two submitted to God will create exponential impact and significant collateral damage to the kingdom of hell than anyone. So marriage is a multiplier. Even if your marriage is currently challenged, it has potential to create collateral damage to the kingdom of hell. If you're married, you can't be foolish. If you have children, you can't be foolish. Because for a dispensation of their lives, they actually 100% rely on your own wisdom. Imagine that almost for the first 2 decades of their lives, their future and destiny is shaped by the steps you take. And you know, from the point when you have children, you cannot talk about your background again because you are now a background. You can't say it was because of the background. No, no, no. The moment you have children, reckon that there are humans who in a short or not too distant future will describe you as their background. The background we grew up in, that's you. That's the home you are building today. Imagine that. How many of you have children? Wave well, let backgrounds. Raise your hand and wave it. These are backgrounds all over the room. Background. You cannot continue to make an excuse out of where you are coming from because you are now where someone has come from. The Lord will help us. So if you have a calling, you can't be foolish. If you are married, you can't be foolish. If you have children, you can't be foolish. If there's an assignment you are stewarding, you can't be foolish. But there's one I would love to highlight. If you have influence, you can't be foolish. If there's one other person or 10 others or 100 others or 5,000 who follow you, who count on your counsel, who take you serious, who want to be like you, you can't be foolish because you give account for the destinies connected to yours. So foolishness can start out as innocent naivety. I just don't know. But it can become an entry point for demonic activity. Proverbs 9 says there's a spirit called foolish. The second thing I would love to highlight to you, and I hope you find it as exciting as I do because it is truth. It says, the starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed with awe as you worship Yahweh. To receive the revelation of the Holy One, you must come to the one who has living wisdom. My God. Look at James 3. From verse 3, it says, if you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life, guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise. But if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and don't try to compensate for it by boasting or being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness. But the wisdom from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate, and teachable. It is filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form. It always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom fruits will be planted with peaceable acts by those who cherish making peace. The wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. I have a desire to read it in NKJV. So let's go to 4. James 3, verse 4. Oh, am I correct with my... Verse 13, apologies. James 3, let's go to 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In Proverbs 9, it says, if you hunger and thirst for wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is the worship of God. The beginning of wisdom is friendship with Father God. The beginning of wisdom is a life submitted to the Spirit of God. What I would love to highlight here, and I'm going to move quickly to the second half of what I'd love to share with you, but I'm laying a foundation that would help. What matters to be highlighted here about a life of wisdom is that you cannot grow in wisdom outside of a living relationship with the Lord. In fact, you see that when I started, I was highlighting the anointing upon and the anointing within. Is that correct? The highest expression of wisdom is not in what you say, it's in who you are. The highest expression of wisdom is not first about the strategy you have for how you run your business. And those things are great. It's first about who you are. In essence, it said the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's peaceable. It's full of good deeds. It's full of mercy. Look at that. It's gentle, easy to be entreated. It doesn't have partiality. It doesn't have hypocrisy. I feel a very strong burden regarding believing women who look nothing like Jesus. It's a very strong burden regarding believing women who are poor examples of scripture. The closer you come to them, the more you are astonished about who they are. Amen and amen. Amen. As we walk with the Lord, our goal must be to be conquered before we seek to conquer territories for him. I know we're in a dispensation of the kingdom and there are territories to be covered. I know we have a mandate on the mountains. I know we have work to do in the spheres of influence. And I know that the Lord is propelling his daughters to the front lines by himself. We haven't even seen anything yet. In fact, as we come into the dispensation of the John 438 prophecy, which he started to really highlight to us at the beginning of this new decade. From 2019, we began to teach that we are starting to see a generation who will emerge as the finishing generation, as the reaper generation. Hallelujah. They're going to come upon the scene and begin to enter into the harvest they didn't labor for. So some of the propelling dimensions of the spirit that you are seeing upon God's daughters is not primarily about their own anointing. Glory to God. Yes, the level of revival that is being released upon the church is connected to the labors of patriarchs and matriarchs who went before us. I'm going somewhere. Are you still here with me? So there's a John 48, 438 prophecy that is looming over our generation. It's looming over this dispensation. By the way, you ought to press into it. You ought to say what has been labored for that I can enter into. Amen and amen. I do policy work, advising governments. A lot of the extraordinary solutions that have been adopted by governments, I've received them, and I will know when I receive them that this thing was reserved as an office, as a mantle. I just entered into it. I will know. In fact, the most impactful work I have done has never been proportional to my research or my education. All the time. I've seen things in Isaiah, and God will give me the economic implication of it from Isaiah again and again. That's Isaiah. When we see Jesus, there are some of my forerunners that I will just spend time with because they have helped my destiny. Prophetic books are actually remarkable because it's not merely what is written in the Logos. It has weighty codes. They are encoded and they have contemporary relevance. The Lord will give us understanding. So I know that there are things Deborah labored for and she prayed for and God released on the earth, but it was not ripe for her time. Amen. And God was waiting for a dispensation of more significant national devastation. That this thing is not Israel that needs it. Africa will need it. Don't worry, I will keep it on the earth. And there's a Deborah and a number of others that I will send into governments and nation building, and they will need it, you see. So you start to worship. It's not even 7 days dry. Radia sitela mande zaviati, arade belofazia rada bakumis, mama koradisha vina naniyai, anane la resia vave kote la misepa. They start to open it. Arabilia kamamilasha, exhorted from beginning to end. I will see scripts. I will sit on Canva and I will not forget a single thing. Yes. I will take frameworks. All I have to look for is a design template that has 7 pillars so I can put what I want to put in it. If you think the Holy Spirit is simply a force that makes you shake and break chairs, you are not leveraging the contemporary advantage of the intelligentsia of Trinity. The Spirit of the living God is the genius of Trinity. Hey! He dummy proofs the secrets of Yahweh, the one who is endless and vast, whose understanding is unsearchable. He makes God make sense a little bit for us. Cuts out a fragment of his vast endlessness. And he says, see him like this. Do it like this. We need him. But why are we having this particular James 3 conversation? Because what is coming is so weighty. It's so weighty that if you do not have Christ-like stamina and stature on the inside, that weight of glory can destroy that vessel. Have you been in a room in Ethiopia and they put a large Ghana must go of dollars before you, that if you counted it and you invested it well, you are sorted for life? Have you been in that room? Have you said no and walked out? You know, your car, you know, this your... You know, you think you are someone until you are face to face with the question that can either answer that you are that person or you are not. Yeah. Have you been in a boardroom infested thickly with the spirit of seduction? That without Holy Ghost, not the one that is upon you only, but the one you have become one with, there's no how in this life that you will not follow one of the bearded, white beards men as they are going. It's not about I'm married and I don't believe in it. It's about demonic activity. Or have you been honored so much that you can temporarily forget your true rank in the formation? I've been called a name and even compared to fathers like, you are so... The devil is a bastard. But it's not only the devil that is at work. Even the unresolved foolishness among God's people can impact or impede your growth. So there's something God is doing now that who you are becoming on the inside is what helps you carry well. A significant dimension of this move that I must highlight, this propelling of God's daughters to the front lines, is that we are witnessing and we are about to witness an unprecedented dimension of wealth and prosperity that is coming into the hands of God's daughters. That while being married to a diligent, excellent, devoted, hardworking man of God, his wife can effortlessly 20x his annual income in a month. Because it's not about a genius, it's about a prophecy she's standing in. So when you are that woman who is looking at 250 million, it has landed. It's not that you are praying for it. And you know when things land, they don't shout. 250 million does not break your phone. It doesn't enter. The alarm doesn't enter. Bah! No, it's just popo. If your phone is on silent, it won't even be heard. You are the one who just know that your life just changed. It's just an alert. So 250 million has dropped. Your brilliant, excellent husband has been in his career 13 years, doing excellently, rising through the ranks. He's on 600 per month. There's no brilliance he can exude within that system that will move him from 600 to 10 million per month. So who are you going to be in that marriage? How are you going to be normal? You know, it is what you have already eaten that will speak on a day like that. And I know you love your husband and you honor him, but you've not been tested. Anything that has not been tested is not in its state of conclusion. No. It's just in potential form. I know you knew to serve him. You've not been tested. The biggest gift you still have, he gave it to you. What of a day where there's nothing you want? If you walk into any store, a Swarovski jewelry store, you stand and you actually can acknowledge that, Lord, by your grace and mercy, there's absolutely nothing in this store that I can't take out now. And my account will not shake. So when you have bought that Swarovski and your husband says, baby, You told me about 4 years ago you really wanted this and I kept it in my mind. How do you receive it? And don't tell me I know, DDK, you don't know my heart unto the Lord. I'm just asking you a question. Let's test it. And maybe I'm even going too far. There are women who lead in choir. And you've had a move of the Spirit on one particular Sunday. The church knew it. The pastorate knew it. You knew it. The entire choir knew it. The host of hell knew it. That there was an outpouring. That the oil was thick. And you know what happened in your heart, quietly within you. The Lord prompted you 4 days after to wake up and pray. As you woke up, the man of God was sleeping and snoring. A little spittle from here to here. And as you stand upon him when you want to begin to pray, you are just like, Lara Bazabashate. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man, because you are just like, ah. If men could just pray when they ought to. Something is rising. You know, it's just that, you know, it's just spiritual stratification. It's rising. Give it 5 more events. You are a completely different woman in your heart. Those days are coming. The test is coming. Because God is putting his hands on his daughters. Hey, can I say something? It is incorrect if you think we always finish our process before God puts the promise on us. No. God does not have as much time for what he is doing in the nations to take you to the end of your preparation before he brings you into a level of announcement. Or else you'll be wrong to think that all of us holding the mic as an example for ministry are all fully done. No. In the midst of the promise is the process. And that's why prosperity is in phases. There are people who are the first level of prosperity and they cut themselves out of the move of the Spirit. So you can say, things are already happening and God is really helping me. There's a way they say, the site, we're already moving towards the permanent site. You are wrapped up in processes birthing promises and promises birthing processes. And you have to follow carefully. So the next time that you are tired and overwhelmed, a little too stressed, and you don't have a lot of time to study the word, remind yourself that you're not studying the word to know more of the word. You are studying the word to become the word so you can carry well the forthcoming weight of glory. Amen. It's not merely Bible study. It is life preparation. So as you sit into the word and you are praying in tongues, you've woken up early in the morning at 3 a.m. because you know that's the only time you have. Just reckon that there's a forging of Christ happening on your inside through fellowship so that wisdom can become second nature. There's wisdom as divine nature. So that you don't have to go somewhere and quickly read something on the day of temptation. Amen. There was a lady who was getting really close to me. And I liked her very much. So I went to visit her one day in her house and we had a great conversation, but there was just something unsettling in my heart, you know? So whenever something's unsettling, I'll start to pray in the spirit. So right from even the house, I was just praying in the spirit. Ah, spirit, ah, woman, ah, DDK, always on. Le rozozo shate berokovaste, ados klivrezozo shlepretistava. And she began to talk. Sis, look, we just marry so that,
you know, for marital status. So, like, because sometimes you're just like, what are these men doing? What do they know? Ministry gift on posters. So, like, you know, one just has to be like, so you're not without a man. As the more I prayed in tongues, the more she was releasing who she was from within her. Eradiakos lepra, sis, she gets. I said, Mamongo, Mama Kora Besu, Ashale Prende, Aibaros. As I got into the car, the Spirit of the Lord said, turn back. I looked. I said, yes, Lord. He said, what's that? I said, a house. Whose house? I mentioned her name. He said, that's the last time I want to see you there. Yes, Lord. I said, Daddy. In just a year and a half, if I remained in that friendship, my white would have been so badly stained. The things that emerged, there's no how that you would. Do you know when they hit your side mirror? I'm not only keen to have motion in the direction of destiny. I'm interested in the transport system. I'm telling you, I don't want to ride in a car badly bashed, doing ziggy ziggy. No! Do you know what we call it in my language? It is wisdom that doesn't only preserve your soul, but the life around you, so that you are kept effective for destiny. Amen. Some women have organized themselves around drama that will lead to stigma and trauma. They enjoy it. They enjoy it. And you know, if you had childhood trauma and you walk on it and you get healing, from when you are 21 years old, any kind of trauma you have is 90% attributable to your own choices. Yes. 90% from 21 years old. If you follow after a mentor who becomes a tormentor, it's your fault. If you are lured into sexual abuse because you repose trust in an idiot of a spiritual leader, it's your fault. So when women come to me and they say for 4 years they have been in a sexual affair with a pastor, the pastor is not my business. You are my business. When did you get born again? She tells me. Do you speak in tongues? She tells me. And you are in a sexual affair. Who are you reporting? Are you reporting him or yourself? Okay, you are reporting yourself. Let's move forward. I can help you. So far as yourself you are reporting. I'm not a pastor police. It's you who is my, you came. So let's work on you. How are you in that? Do you know that even when you are walking in wisdom, there are things that will happen to you just because you follow Jesus that are uncomfortable? Are you aware? Are you aware that being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ has its own cross that you ought to carry daily as you follow him? So how are you going to add drama, stigma, and trauma on top of the cross? This is why people are unable to live beautiful, fruitful, radiant lives. I spent a lot of time, but I still must enter something I want to leave you with. Glory to Jesus Christ. What are things you should be aware of as you pursue a new season of wisdom? If you're going to be a wise woman, by the way, you are a wise woman. You are here growing in wisdom. Every one of us has a dimension of the wisdom of God that we have stewarded, and it has helped us thus far. Is that correct? Is that correct? Do you want to take a moment and give God thanks for the wisdom that has been at work in your life? For the wisdom that is from above. Everyone, every single one of us have walked in wisdom. Amen and amen. As you go after the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, what dimensions must you be aware of so that you're protecting yourself from the ways that the enemy can take cheap advantage of you?
Number one, over spirituality. That could nearly sound odd. Can I be overly spiritual? Yes. In the way that I want to explain it to you. Over spirituality is spirituality that does not land. If your walk with the Lord does not allow you operate in sagacity, and don't worry, I'm bringing it home. If your walk with the Lord does not allow you operate in the everyday wisdom of understanding the world around you, you are over spiritual. There were wise virgins and foolish virgins. They were both waiting for the return of the groom. One estimated that though the groom said he is coming, he may not come at the expected time, because the expected time is not always the appointed time. Amen. So if your relationship with God, your perception of your relationship with God, makes you unable to make pragmatic decisions, practical steps in the direction of your destiny, then your spirituality is not landing. Your spirituality is not impacting your life directly. Glory be to God. And I'm going to give you examples. So we have the wise virgin, or the wise virgins, who bought extra oil. We've got oil in our lamp. If he doesn't arrive at the expected time, we want to still be found waiting. Right? And indeed, he didn't arrive at the expected lamp, but there were virgins who were spiritual, but were foolish. I'm going to give you 2 to 3 examples that astonish me about women, and I can see that is their spirituality that is sponsoring it. Number one, women who, because of ministry or church volunteering, are overwhelmed and absent in their marriages and their family life. It is foolishness. So how is your home in chaos? Your children poorly fed, poorly read, poorly dressed, but you are in vigils and in choir and in ushering, believing that your spirituality covers for what you have left absent at home. How are you married and you are so spiritual that there's no more sex on the calendar? It's either you are in vigil or you are fasting and tired, or God told you to meet him every 12 o'clock and you have to prepare from 10 p.m. Please, what is this? I know some spiritual women whose children are the worst dressed consistently. And I see the way you'll be shaking in the place of prayer. But you can't bring that anointing to color coordination. Neat outfits. Wear this. Comb your hair. Wear this shoe. Not the dirty one. You can't do that. It's beyond baffling to me. Number two. Spiritual women who cannot make investments for their career or their business. Who cannot grow their business. Who cannot take strategic steps for professional development. Who believe so much in the power of favor that they just anticipate it will be by God's hands that he will just lift me. Lifting comes from above. No certifications. Lifting sales, if God wants to announce you, he announce you. No boosted posts, no ads, no marketing strategy. Your spirituality is not landing. Amen. I see more believing women stuck in their careers than unbelieving women again and again. I coach professionals. Number three. Spiritual women who emotionalize their relationships. Your spirituality is not landing. So, after all that anointing on your life, the people who have the greatest access to you and are in your inner circle are people who infiltrate your family, your mind, your environment with the lies of the enemy. How are these your friends? How are you always settling quarrels on the WhatsApp group you all belong to? And that is not enough sign that this is not aligned to your destiny. Okay, Felicia, what happened? I will come back from church. Four, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. She said then, and now said, you've done this since you were 23. You are 49. Habba! It's not her. These are realities. Someone has called me before. You are 51. You've called me. I need to talk to you, mama. First, I'm not mama. Just say Didike, but what's the issue? You said that somebody did somebody that. Who is the person? Say somebody, I know the person. Why is she still on the conversation on WhatsApp call? I added the person to the WhatsApp call. Ma, please, pause. She's here. So please, what you were saying, kindly repeat it. And you are 51, you are stammering. Habba. No, age. No, age is not absent in spiritual equations. I hope you know. Age matters. The natural progression of life is a leverage for more of God to have happened in you. Yes. Yes. God accounts for age as well. Yes. Your real advantage as a spiritual person is that Kairos and Chronos become your combustive combination. You know, did you hear me? The advantage is that you started early with the Lord. You got born again at 10, got into ministry at 20. That's my story. God found me early. So at 40, you've walked with him 30 years. The anointing on your life is conk because it has been cooked over the years. That's a leverage. The desire is that if you are 30 and you are following Jesus, when we gather in 10 years' time for a conference, this is year what of our conference? Year 3. So let's say we're having 10.0, the 10th anniversary. 7 years' time. My God, you should be minimum 7 times mightier. Minimum. Do you understand this? You only discount age when you think about your past that was absent from Jesus. You don't discount age when you think about a future that is present with the Lord. Huh? No, I expect I will be better next year. Did we not just read it? He said, wisdom makes your life better. In verse, did you see that when we're reading it? It said it makes your life better and more fruitful year by year. So you're 51. I've added you to the call. And you're stammering. No, ma, don't stammer. I won't contest. So, okay, maybe you forgot. I will start to say them. Ma, since you are here now, I said it in hopes that you will not call me to such conversations again. Yeah, my prophetic office is not to be downplayed to nonsense. You can't sit with a mature woman. I don't like this. I like this. And then you can't privately within your life say, this thing I don't like is because I'm too sensitive. There's no big deal there. You can't have that kind of conversation with yourself. All of this are kia, ris, opeloba. You cannot say, calm down. Woman of God, hear the word of the Lord. Nothing is happening. You can't do that. You ought to be able to do it. Your husband ought to offend you and you're like, bara belovehe. Asila kuriandusa. Efumin green tea, you drink it, me zote kapas. You go about your day. You can't do that. Because my marriage is not working. It's because of our own lack of self-control. And you know, the reason I can tell you categorically, one of the biggest reasons if I say we need to talk, my husband is sweating under the AC, is because, maybe I've said it 4 or 5 times. In almost 20 years of being together, we need to talk. When I say we need to talk, we go away and I show him slides. You don't get presentation. It can be 34 pages. I'm serious. Me or Roger, where there's work to be done. It's not every 2 days. I don't like it. The way you said, don't worry, I'm good. You to be good. I love you. You love me. I know. You are imperfect. I'm imperfect. If Jesus is bearing with me, one of the highest proof that I'm following him is I will bear with you. But when we need to talk, we will now talk. And when, I'm sorry, no, I'm not angry. What will you do going forward? Then I'll be typing it as you're telling me. Okay, you work on this. Okay. No, I'm not. I just thought we can work on it together. Yes. These are the things we'll now review. The one you are not sure that you cannot do, go and think about it. Can you do this one? I don't like this one. Can we work on it? You work on it. I love you too. That's how I'll be typing. So you cannot just do like this. As he's preaching, he gave an example you don't like. You are already swelling. So the church can see you are swelling. After service, the clothes cannot size you again like this. Get responsible over your emotions. Take charge. We can't really go anywhere far doing that one. That's what Mama was talking about. Take charge. You saw David do it all the time. Why are you disquieting within me? You invite your lungs, your liver, your esophagus to a conference call. Everybody come. I know you are not happy. Calm down. Are you going to do that in Jesus' name? Glory to God. So we'll do that, Abby. Do we have an agreement in Jesus' name? Two more I want to share with you. That you have to pay attention to. And I know it may unsettle you a little bit. And it may sound a little summer, but it's not summer. I will tell you what I mean. Over submission. Over submission. You are over submitting in a way that is not scriptural and godly. Whenever you become an enabler of what will destroy what God is doing in your family. You are over submitting in a way that is not scriptural. Whenever you cannot leverage your strength to contribute to your husband. That's what one of the sisters in choir was saying. No valuable counsel. No advisory. No contribution. It's how you do it, daddy. What about it? It's as you say it, sir. Because of mental laziness. Mental laziness. Woman who is not an asset. In the dispensation of our fathers, who was the number one kind of woman profile that chiefs and chairmen had as second wives? Who knows that woman profile? What was her role in chairman's life? No, what was her role in the organization? Secretary. Do you remember? Oh, you don't, yeah, Gen Zs, they don't know much about all this. It's just like, what was that though? Chairman, who's that? Chief. Anybody has money in my daddy's time is chief or chairman. Yeah. The profile of the second wife or the woman outside with a family was often his secretary. Because mommy was mommy. Do you get? And he honored her for being mommy. But he sought a strategic partner. He spent hours working on projects. He had someone who managed his administrative protocols. Is it wrong? Is it right? No. But can the lapses be filled? Yes. Can we do better? Yes. I mean, Proverbs 31 now. Maybe we love her. There's an imagery there that gives you an idea of the caliber of woman that she was. Your prophetic gift cannot be telling people their date of birth, the color of their bra, and what God said about their future. Elima, Elima, he said you marry November. And me, and me, and me. Yeah, me. Toyota Mitsubishi, me. I can perceive. No! Prophetic gift, head between knees, ribakos keprandosa. Overnight, the Lord shows you things. Man of God, I see this, I see this. And it's not about being a prophet. Whenever a woman is a gatekeeper, she will operate in a prophetic gift. Yes. I can see this, I can see this. Sometimes you ask it as a question, though you want it to be an answer. Selah. There are things my husband will say are his ideas that categorically before Jesus and I told him. But I will be saying, do you remember when you said, oh, he said, yeah, it just came to my heart like that. Because I will sell it as a question.
PDK, I don't know, boy, I feel, but is this something you could just, that's how I'll be repeating the thing. Then one day he'll just be like, I remember when it came to my heart that I should, just let's do it. Who said it does not matter to me at all. Then in some random cases, you'll be like, PDK, were you the one? I said, no, but you, that's when you said it. It was that time. Amen. You have to know what you really want. I think that's the first thing here. You have to know what you want. You have to know what God has shown you. Then the journey begins. So that over submission that made a woman agree with her husband, haven't seen the move of God in the early church, agreed that they will go and present less than the amount. I reject it in Jesus' name. Hey? Many of the things we believe about submission are cultural and not scriptural. You cannot follow a man to sin and you say you were submitting. No. How you present it is the posture of submission. But that you will not take a stand. And you know, we've said if the man is not praying, you know, you pray. And I've taught that to women a lot. Focus. Do your part. But go and grow your capacity for visionary negotiation. A creative approach to reach your husband in a way he knows. If he takes kneeling down, man of God, you are my father. I need your covering. I need your hand on my head. Pastor can never give me that. God saw me. He saw what I needed. That's why he made you my head. You know, do whatever it takes. Not by anger. That posture you are taking is strategy. Over submitting is when you say, I beg go me, I don't leave him. You are not playing your part. You will give account. Your husband must pray over your children. Yes. You package 5K. You put it in envelope. Go and give daddy. Kneel in front of daddy. Yes. You can start by saying, what is all you children? What's going on?
Pray for us, daddy.
Whatever it takes, get that priesthood out of his spirit, man. No, stand up. Ah, obese, no. And you would have warned them, no meat for you if you don't get that prayer. Kneel down there. Daddy pray, okay, God is with you. God bless you. Ah, then he's harassing you later like, what was that about? About what? The seed? No, daddy, they have to do what they have to do. Use that kneeling to get what you want. You are not a 21st century woman. You are a scriptural woman. Do what it takes. Amen. And what you can't talk about, change the atmosphere. There are friends that visit your home that your husband keeps. That means you don't know how to prophetically sweep. You've never hovered your home prophetically. That's what's happening. You bring the broom fresh. Or if you prefer, like the longer ones we are using now, let everybody be asleep. Call them by their name, middle name, and son name. They will not come to your home again. You think it's a joke? You don't understand? My grandmother would say, "Wafa dura yamwo, wajamwo dam." Then when he mentions it, like, he's not being close to you. I don't even know what's happening. Daddy, I feel it. Let him be. Or you start to reduce from a four to prawn crackers, to juice, to water. What you're also serving is contributing to the issues at hand. When you serve like there's a party going on, you are creating some invitations. Why are you serving like that? Because you want to prove that you are a great cook. Continue. Some of the things you are not doing, you are not submitting. You just have a weak personality. Yes. It's not that you are a submissive woman. You are not courageous. You are timid. And a timid woman cannot fight for the future or the legacy of a family. So that's why you don't waste your emotions. That's why I said that one I said before. Don't fight petty fights so that the day you say, I don't like this, it lands. I don't. No many words. It rests. And the final one. Any of us are guilty of this one. So I will not look at you, I will look at the ceiling. I'll look upon the Lord from whom my help cometh from. Oversharing. Oversharing. Storytellers. Oversharing. We started with over. We went to over. We're now on over. Stop oversharing. And I want to highlight three dimensions here very quickly. Number one, I know there's a movement that is encouraging us to be increasingly vulnerable. If you bleed in front of people regarding a wound that has not healed, and you tell stories from your pain, they will use it against you. And that foolishness, it will hurt you for many years. And I mean in any room. I know you may say, I know in RCN, we're a tight-knit sisterhood. I know. In RCN, like, we share so openly. Even if we're six and we sit on the floor. Sisters, in the presence of the Lord, what are you going through? Let's just, because God is here, let's lay it bare. As they are playing the keyboard, you're already crying. It's been tough. If it is tough, that is not the time to talk about it. You either find a spiritual leader, a mentor, a safe space, a counselor. Amen. If you bleed in public, you would regret that foolishness. But you will not walk in that foolishness. Oversharing. I have people who have said that people don't connect fully with teachers who are not vulnerable. They don't. They don't need the word. Okay, so are we watching DSTV? So if I don't tell you that I've ever struggled with anything, you hold the assumption that I'm claiming perfection. No. Are we doing a reality show? With our lives? Are we unwise? Are we not discreet? So, vulnerability is drawing lessons from your scars. It is not bleeding openly regarding an ongoing wound. Can that difference help us to never forget? On the WhatsApp group, you are the one always bringing everything. Oversharing. So first, public vulnerability. Be careful. Number two, not severing the lines between extended family and your new family by marriage. You are upset. You've taken it back to family WhatsApp group. I believe in Kote Akinsheleni. I can never fathom it, what Francis said to me this morning. You now wonder why your sisters eye him and your dad throws shades every once in a while. A real man has to defend his wife. There are things ahead. Where we are going is far, and people still change. Yes. So that line must be delineated. And this is not that we are covering dark things. No. Amen. And then oversharing on social media, where we are getting ready with one another. I don't know where that one started from. Why are we getting ready together? Get ready is your business. Get ready with me. It's in my generation. I've seen things I would never imagine could be seen. I've seen your bathroom. Why? Even if you're my friend, I don't want to see your master's bedroom and the bathroom in your bedroom. But we've seen it. We've seen you rise out of the bed, go to the gym, wearing what we should not see. How and why? And you know, there's a way this experiences. You may never do that, but they also drop your own standard. That unconsciously, you start to share what you would never have shared outside. Yeah. This is called the mind control mechanism of Satan. Media rides on the mind control mechanism. Let me tell you what the enemy seeks to do. If the enemy wants you to eat mango in public, the enemy will awaken a people who don't have a problem planting the seed of the mango, watching it grow, you know, bathing themselves in it. He would raise the bar of foolishness, though all he needs is for a believer to play in the middle line of that foolishness, because that middle line is sufficient to derail a believer. Do you understand this? Do you understand it? Do you understand it? So for a minister of the gospel, as an example, and that's why we will start to pray. A minister of the gospel that the enemy wants to become materialistic, all the enemy has to do is to proliferate the media with the bling celebrity culture. Cars, houses, everything on flex. It will be increasing the desire for materialism, the desire to be popular, the desire to be perceived successful in the heart of a minister. So when a minister wants to express his own, he will not necessarily wear blings and be like, yo, we make money, yo, 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 money, money. No. His own will now be the kind of hall he wants to use for his events, the kind of lights, the media. There are some venues that will lose their appeal, as though Jesus is about Balmoral and not under a tree in on stadium. As if Jesus would choose and say, no, for my anointing to be released, take me to Balmoral. So he would choose a venue. Then he would think about the media. Then he would think about how he would drive in. All he has to lay on that video is, God is in this story. God is in, you know, so they open the door for him. He comes out. All he's remembering as he's coming out is, yo, man, let me hold, yo, yo. But he will express his own within the context of religion. That's the mind control mechanism. So you've seen his and hers. You are stressed by it. And though you can't achieve the vacation yet, you will try your own lower version of it in church. You'll be distracting your husband from having a meaningful conversation with others. Always putting your hand inside, baby, let's just take a picture. Your husband will be like, what is happening? We were never really keen for these kind of things. You're posting more pictures and under pressure to tell stories you don't need to tell. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will keep our eyes on the priorities that truly matter. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will order our lives according to the word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts will become established in counsel. We know what to do. We know where to go. We know how to move. And we give our hearts fully to the mystery of scripture, so that our profiting may appear to all. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you.